Saturday morning here at Rosie on the House. We're joined with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, as well as Richard Atkins of the City of Phoenix Forestry Department, as well as the president of the Arizona Community Tree Council, as well as the owner of the Gilbert Arborist, as well as the board of directors member for the Valley Permaculture. Can I give you another hat, please?
Can I give him another hat right now? I want to take this time. I asked Richard to come into the studio today because he's a great friend, a fellow arborist, and he has a lot to offer. Our discussion this morning, his favorite tree was the desert ironwood, and we wanted him to come into the studio and share that passion with us. But I wanted to mention something. Richard, just a couple of years ago, was honored by the International Society of Arboriculture as a true professional of arboriculture. It's a special award given to a select number of arborists around the world every year for their impact on our industry and our community. And tell us a little bit about that award. To have an award recipient here in the Phoenix area is just awesome.
Well, thank you, John. It's nice of you to mention. That was in 2011, and I was nominated by some people within the department at the City of Phoenix, mostly for a lot of the work that I had done in the City of Phoenix with our tree inventory, as well as an agreement that we had set up with some of the local utilities to replace trees that were improperly planted under power lines and put in and back a more appropriate species, and the education component that came along with that.
Well, I knew I liked Richard as soon as he told me he married a girl from Chicago in Bisbee while he was working at the Oregon Pipe Cactus National Park. That's my kind of guy right there.
Well, he has a real passion for trees. In fact, he brought a little snack in. Can you tell us a little bit about that today?
Right. Well, we're talking about the desert ironwood, and if you've noticed the desert ironwoods around the valley right now, the branches are starting to hang low. They are full of seed. And right now when the seed has just got that beige color, the seed pod, the seeds inside are nice and bright green, and they are ready for harvest. So I harvested some out of the tree in my front yard yesterday, prepared them last night, and brought them into
How do you prepare them? What do you do?
Very good.
Basically, it's very simple, just like you would any decent green bean. You pull them off the tree. I just blanched the pods for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes in some boiling water, plunged them into an ice bath right thereafter, and then just
Peeled the
pod right off the seeds, a little salt and pepper, and you just sit there and eat that for a snack while you're watching TV or sitting out in the backyard.
So we have a little container here you brought in with all these little peas in there, and they are scrumptious. They're pretty good.
Yeah, they're really, very really sweet. Nice. Got a little peanutty taste. Fantastic. You wouldn't think that you'd be eating this right off the ironwood tree, but it's a fantastic snack.
We were all very impressed. Thank you. And
oh, you're very welcome.
It is a protected species, as you mentioned, but you said that they're in full bloom right now. If I was walking along and saw one on the street, City Phoenix property, could I just get a little shaker and a bucket and pick them up?
You could take a few of the beans off. We prefer that you give me a call.
Okay.
So that we know that that's what your intent is, as opposed to damaging the tree.
How about natural harvesting, just walking and hiking the desert?
Hiking in the desert, you should be free to go ahead and just harvest, because they're very simple to just pick right off of the ends. You don't have to damage the branch at all.
I really, really enjoyed it. It was good.
Very good, very good. Let's start with Gary on our calls, as every line is full with questions on trees. From Tucson, how can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call. We've got a fan palm that's growing right next to our stone water feature, and it's starting to tilt towards the east, quite a slant, and I'm not sure on the structure underneath the ground, how it grows. Will it damage that water feature, or should I have it pulled out, or what? I really don't know what to do with it.
Will a palm, what kind of root structure? I've not seen enough evidence that a palm would do that.
Fan palm.
Yeah, fan palms and all palms, you know, have roots about the diameter of your finger. They don't get much larger than that. When palms need additional root material, they just put out new roots. So you get this cluster of roots that emerge from what's called the root initiation zone, and hundreds of these roots go out in every direction. Palms that are planted next to hardscape elements can create a lot of problems. They can break hardscape, they can push walls out, they can break water features, sidewalks, driveways, because they're getting larger in diameter at the base of the tree. You think that the tree is going to stay the same size, the tree will get taller, but the roots will remain about the same. Well, that's not really true. That root ball, that root mass will continue to increase as there's additional demands for nutrients and water. So unfortunately, if you've got some issues already with a hardscape element nearby, it might be a consideration that you've got to take the tree out. Again, you might want to contact, I hear the chainsaw in the background, you might want to consider getting an arborist to come out and take a look at that and give you a heads up.
And what was that website?
ISA-arbor.com will take you to the ISA website where you can put in your zip code and find a certified arborist in your neighborhood.
And that's probably, I've seen that, I think, on Arizona Community Tree Council's website as well.
Right. A lot of our members that are certified arborists, you can locate them on the Tree Council website.
And that's at aztrees.org.
Indeed.
Get somebody out there to cut that out. And it was a volunteer, so it wasn't part of the original design. So maybe that was why. Let's see. We'll stay in Tucson with Peggy and talk about her ash tree. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. My ash tree is several years old. It looks like it's thin in the center, like it used to be just a solid mass of nice leaves there, but now it's kind of thinning out, and some of the branches or some of the wood has fallen down. And I just wonder if there's anything I can do to help it.
There's three things come to mind. I'm thinking of a carpenter worm is a vicious little pest that has been attacking a lot of mature ash trees all over the Phoenix area the last several years. You want to be cautious about that. If it is a larger mature ash tree, I would certainly get a certified arborist to come out and do a visual inspection, probably an aerial inspection. Climb the tree. They'll have to get up and look in the crotches of the main branches. You'll see some 3/8-inch to 1/2-inch diameter holes, indicative that the larva has invaded the interior of the tree. That often causes dieback in the top of the tree. We also have problems with sooty canker in ash trees too, which also is a pathogen that blows into the trees, and it's opportunistic, and it finds its way into the vascular system of the tree, can cause some severe damage, and you start to see the dieback above. Also, if you're seeing bark flaking off, that could be sunburn. If the tree was over-pruned at any time in the past and some sun has gotten in, ash trees are very, very sensitive to sun. And once you get an exposed area of bark on the interior of the tree and it's damaged and the cambium is no longer functioning and uptaking the water and nutrients, and you get the corresponding dieback above. So any one of those three things could be what you're looking at.
That's a lot of information.
Well, try to give it all as fast as I could.
if you miss that or need to hear that again, you go to rosieonthehouse.com, R-O-S-I-E on thehouse.com. In the media tab, click on radio, and every segment is broken down there in MP3 audio files after the broadcast. So good luck with that. And again, it's aztrees.org or isa-arbor.com. You can find certified arborists for your area. We'll stay close to Tucson. Move over to San Manuel and see what Jimmy's working on with a real ugly tree.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have, I think it's pronounced tilapa tree. It has those elongated beanstalks hanging off of it. And it flowers real good for about a month and a half, and then it starts wilting. It rusts, and it turns real ugly. It's real nice before that, though. So what could be happening to that tree?
I'm not sure I'm hearing you. Tilapa tree?
Yeah, it's. I think that's where you pronounce it. I'm not really sure. I got that tree from New Mexico. Northern New Mexico, and they grow real good up there. The leaves are real, real white. They're real big leaves. But it doesn't seem to be growing here in my house. I've had it for about 12 years, I guess. And, like I say, it flowers real good, but then, about a month and a half after that, it starts wilting and rusting out.
Yeah, with a lot of, I'm not sure what variety you're speaking about, but there are a lot of, larger leafed trees like that aren't native to here, and they do struggle through the spring and summer months. And sometimes after a large bloom, it's such an energy drain on trees that the following that bloom drop, trees will often just drop leaves just to conserve energy and water while they're kind of rebuilding their strength. And sometimes, you know, through the late spring, early summer, that's not too uncommon. So it may not be a concern.
Identifying the tree would probably be the first step. Take a picture, bring it to a nursery or a local arborist, and get it identified.
I'd love to see unique trees to our area. I'd be happy to even give us a call if you'd like, and I'd be happy to come out and take a look.
Now, he's down in San Manuel.
Oh, San Manuel.
So maybe what he ought to do is maybe take a phone picture of it and text it to you or email it to you. How would he do that?
Yeah, just contact us through our website, itreeservice.com, the letter I, treeservice.com.
And you can also follow them along on Facebook. I learned something from your Facebook page. If you don't have anything to do tonight and you want to get out to Boyce Thompson Arboretum, their summer solstice events is going on tonight. That looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, follow us on Facebook as well. Great, thanks.
And that's itreeservice.
itreeservice.com.
Very good. We appreciate it. If it's too late for the repels all and you've already got burrowing animals that have torn up your yard, look for Bonide's Mole Max RX. The RX lawn revitalizer will help repair all the tunneling damage that's been done by these crawlers. You apply it 3 to 4 times a year, and it is completely environmentally friendly. You don't have to worry about locking the kids up or putting the pets away. You can apply it while they play. It's that safe. You can find it in a granulated form. It has a spreader application, and if you've got a big property and a lot of damage, the 5-pound shaker applications. You can also use it in flower and vegetable gardens. You don't have to worry about this product messing up your produce if you've got burrowing animals that have torn up your vegetable garden. You can also get it in spray application as well. You can find Bonide's Mole Max RX. Look for the RX for the patch repair at Christopher's in Lakeside, Treeland Nursery in Mesa, and Viola's Flower Garden in Flagstaff.